And we make it sound like forgiving somebody because they wronged
us. You're listening to South Florida's.
Because they wronged us. Like they've got to jump through all of these hoops. How Christian are we? How much do we need to defend ourselves against a world that hates us? When do we remember they're our enemy, we're not theirs? So why do we treat them as such? When they come into the church, they need to understand what it is to be washed. They need someone that is going to grab a hold of them and say, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee.
Amen.
Tell me about yourself. Let me help you get through. Let me show you how to walk out your salvation in Christ Jesus through fear and trembling.
It's good.
You know, I got to say, it was 15 years ago, and I was a few years into the church. I had rock solid faith in Jesus Christ. I'd have busted you in the mouth if you'd have said otherwise. You see what I'm saying? You got to grow. Now I got to be honest with you. If you offend me, I'm going to go home and I'm going to find out why I got offended. Everybody is living their life to the best of their ability. Last week, I've got to be honest with you, I can't tell you how many times I have read Romans 7 and I closed the book puzzled. I closed the book puzzled last week. Last week, I understood Romans 7. In all those years of my living in this world, I would tell you, I don't belong to the world. I never did, because the world hated me.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't welcomed in the world. They hated me. But I understood finally, all those years that I thought I was a good human being, and I'm going to tell you, I was a dirty, filthy pig, you know. And I think that's the problem is we've gotten to a point that we don't want to talk about how sinful we are, when that's all that Scripture tells us is how sinful man is. And it's not without the Holy Spirit, without God's forgiveness, we are all sinful. I don't care if you never break man's law. Without the Holy Spirit and the washing of Christ's blood, we are dirty.
Yeah, true.
I apologize. I know there's another one more point that I really wanted to, was hoping to make today. In the book of Ezekiel, another place I found myself, but I didn't find myself as just one, as one thing in Ezekiel. That was where I seen the goodness of God and where God expected me to go and what he seen me as in Christ. But he also showed me who I was without Christ. And then it, you know, the scripture, and it says it several times in Ezekiel, if the wicked would turn from their wicked ways, will they not be forgiven also? Go ahead. You don't have to leave the air dead. Somebody wants to say something, I'll pipe up when this thought comes back to me. But I'm going to be six nights this week, the next six nights. I will be at my place of worship. And I hope that there will be others that join us. I hear so many people talking about we need revival. We need revival. Let's go possess it.
Amen. Amen. And it starts right here.
Yes, it starts here.
Yeah, starts right here. And what was the illustration I heard as a boy, and I didn't understand it, but said just like a kid with a chunk of chalk, draw a circle around where you are and say, this is where revival's needed, right here.
Yes.
And God, I surrender, and I become a candidate for that process. And praise God, that's very true.
Yes.
That's awesome. Dave.
I just have a comment, and because I've known you for a while, and I'm praise God for that. And you represent a move of the Spirit in the church that, I mean, many of us have said, well, I wish we could see. The day needs to come when that happens, and it is. I'm stealing now from Ecclesiastes 3. You know, there's a season for everything,
yep.
Right?
Yes, yes.
And so I will tell you from my review of the history of the church in the last several decades, we've been in a season of complacency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion. You can disagree with me, and that's fine. But I believe that we've been in a season of complacency, but that season is over.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, when you stand for the work of the Spirit today that is challenging that complacency with a call to action. It's not a new call to action. Spirit of God has moved throughout the age of the church.
Yes.
To call God's people to move. And it is time. But one of the things I first picked up when I first met you, when I asked you to come on the Frontline program on Monday, that one time you came on,
mm-hmm.
is because you have a fresh voice of action. Your own personal testimony was part of the program, in that you were moving from a place of comfort because God was calling you to a place of discomfort, and you decided, I'm going to take that risk. And so as you're speaking, I am resonating in my spirit with the Spirit of God in you, and I believe it's in all of us here, and it's in the hunger of so many of our listeners to say, now is the time. Let's take the risk. You know, it seems risky to us because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
All we know is God's calling us. That should be enough.
Yes.
And what it will be enough when we step out in faith, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to go there, God, because that's what you want me to do. It's a little scary, God, but I know you've got me. Mm-hmm. And long before I am consumed by my own fear, you will supply me with every grace I need to have the conviction that is required for me to stand firm.
Yes.
And to do what you've got me to do individually. But it's not just about me. It's not just about you or Karen or Jonathan or Sherry. It's about all of us.
Yes.
It's the church, the communion of the family of God.
Yes.
And now is the time, in this day, for such a time as this. So when I'm just saying this, I hope listeners are picking up on, Sean is not, he's not doing this for his own ego. He's not doing this because he loves the sound of his own voice. He is doing this because God called him to do it, to say it, and to be it. And I give God the glory, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. So do I.
For the sharing of the heart.
Well, there's some passion. There's some fire that is communicated when you speak. And when you started earlier by saying that when you look into the Word of God, you started finding yourself. Mm. And isn't it awesome that the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God come alive?
Yes.
And when you were just talking about that, and I remember as a kid growing up in a Christian environment and not getting anything, not thinking I was getting anything. The Word was coming in. I memorized the Word. I had to, or Dad would have beat something out of me. But I didn't understand it. It was just, it was a book. It was information. It was Dad's faith. It was Mom's faith. It was not my faith. But when you are born again and God gives you that heart, you were talking about Ezekiel. God gives you a new heart. And then he begins to let you find who you are in the embrace of his love and the transformation power of God. It is absolutely awesome. And even years later, Christian school, daily devotions at home, high school, Christian college, traveling, coming into ministry. And one day I really heard the Father say, Jonathan, you tell people about me, but I want you to know me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been trained to study, to write sermons, to equip people with knowledge, but I want to equip them with a transformed life. And that's what you're talking about. And I just believe someone may be listening today that may be at that point where they can see others who need to be revived.
Yeah.
I remember being there. And Karen, we were talking about that this morning. It's easy for the church to become critical and condemning and I love what you said. If I'm offended, I need to go home and get before God and say, why did I take offense?
Yeah.
Because nobody can do it to you, not even the devil, unless you take it, right?
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, we're at a fresh place. I sense that with this prayer and share, that it's going to be different this time. And you may say, well, Jonathan, you said that last time. Well, it was different last time, but this is different from any prayer and share already that we've had. And we just want to start by inviting all of you to do what you're saying, Sean.
Amen. Mm. Thank you.
To lay it down, whatever you got to lay down.
Yes.
To get real with God. And I'm still looking for this service. I've not been in one yet, but James says, confess your sins.
One to another,
that you may
be healed.
Amen.
That does not mean that you all line up and you crawl in a booth and you're asking someone to come and confess their sins to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I do believe it's calling us to drop our religious suits.
Yes.
Amen.
Our own opinion that we have of ourselves, our self-promotion.
Yes.
Drop that. Mm-hmm. And get real and share with one another so we can minister to one another so the power of God can be released. I really believe that's where the two or three coming into agreement happens.
Yes. And, you know, that was also part of me listing out there in Corinthians 6, Galatians 5, in Romans 8, we're called to mortify the flesh. And I do believe it's in Colossians also where Paul expresses that, you know, God held the principalities and the powers of this world. He held them up to shame them.
Yeah.
And
through the church,
you know, and if we begin to understand how that works into our fruit, how it becomes fruit, you know, those of you that have given to this radio station for years or even just started, I heard a few new first-timers today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm your fruit. So,
wow, that's powerful.
You know, as you're going through this life, and if you're going to engage in this next 6 days of let's go take this revival, let's watch God make it happen, keep yourself out of it with the exception of being humble before Him. You know, you brought up in Ecclesiastes, there's another scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, the man that goes before the throne of God and talks much is a fool.
Yeah.
You know,
totally. Yeah.
Go there. For those of you that are saying, well, I know I'm righteous, I know I'm forgiven, absolutely, I know you are too. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, yes, you are forgiven. Get before Him and ask Him to reveal to you what you need to see.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what I've dealt with in the last 20 years has happened in the previous year where God
right.
has really shown me, you know, look. You say you want to get here, but this is what you need to see.
This is
to
the
get
journey.
There. You have to see the
yes.
light on the path in
yes.
front of your feet.
Yes.
You know, and 6 o'clock, that's a time I gave. If you can't do it at 6 o'clock, you got to do it earlier than that. Hey, do it earlier than that. We'll call you the first fruits. You know,
I have to start a little after 5. I've got to get started early.
If you can't do it until later than that because of responsibilities or something, hey, we'll call
That's
you
okay.
the bumper crop.
That's okay.
You know,
it's okay.
And for those of you that just can't make it to a place where to the place of worship, so you can gather with other brothers and sisters, you know, you're the corners of the field that we leave.
Amen.
For the poor. You're the edges that border off the field of grain.
Man.
You know, let's go see what God wants to do, and let's let Him do it. Stop making plans. Stop filing these court papers. It's not by strength nor by might. It's by His Spirit.
Saith the Lord.
Two or three. And you have a listening audience capability of over 8
million?
Million?
Seven and a half for sure. Yeah.
Just where the antenna goes to, yeah, plus the
internet.
The internet.
Global.
You know, 1% of your listening capability beyond their knees sometime today, yeah, with Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and then Psalms 51.
Amen.
And then praise and worship.
Amen. Good outline.
Not at their own wants, not their own needs, not what they think this country needs. God knows it.
Yeah.
There's a prince over every nation. There's another prince trying to fight that prince. We fight powers, principalities, spiritual warfare, not each other.
Not flesh and blood. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
You know, as you're talking, Sean, I have this vision of the temple where, and Jesus talked about this, where the one man comes in and he won't even look up. You know, he's like, he's beating his breast and he's saying, God, you know, forgive me.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I need you. You know, I'm lost. And the other is saying, I thank God I'm not like these other people.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that's exactly what you're talking about. That is what revival is. I don't care how close I may come to God. When I see him, there's a lot of changing that God has planned for me.
Yes.
He's not finished yet.
We're not taking this earthen tabernacle to heaven.
No, we
God
leave it behind.
God is not having that.
Yeah, right.
You know? It's just a wonderful thing to be able to
praise
get in
God
there and understand the word of God. You know, they like to use that prayer, you have not because you ask not, or you ask for your own benefit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing that he mentions about asking is for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. He gives to all liberally.
Shall be given unto you.
All. You know, I've told people who will not give their life to Christ in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've directed them to that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So to understand me, you ever just call on God and just ask him to reveal himself, he will do so immediately.
Amen. Amen.
I have Amen. Never required of God that was not for that was for my edification. God, I don't understand this. I need wisdom to understand this. Within 24 hours, somebody from the radio station is talking about it with insight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I read it in scripture and I understand it.
God answers prayer.
You know, something else, and this ties in what you were talking earlier, Jonathan. I know in whom I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I know in whom I trust.
Right.
You know, right. And it's not when I get with people, I am not trying to change people's stances on their religion.
Right.
I'm not going to allow them to change mine.
Mm-hmm.
What I am looking for is to gain more knowledge and to hopefully share knowledge with them. I no longer look at encounters as passing by. If I've said hi to somebody, I've influenced their day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've influenced me with their response.
No accidents.
There is not an accident.
No accidents. God's sovereign in all of that.
You know, driving. I love my wife, and if she's listening, I'm probably going to get a little eyeball tonight when I get home. But you know, my wife, she can't stand driving. She doesn't like it. It doesn't matter if it's slow traffic, flow traffic. What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She talks to me. She calls me on her way home to let me know she's on her way home, and then we hang up.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to allow this life to frustrate me so much that a half-hour drive home drives me that crazy.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's where you are and that's where she is.
Yes. Yes.
And she's going to grow forward from there, just like you're growing forward from where you are.
Yes.
And this is the body of Christ.
And it has been so enjoyable. Yeah. You know, I look back, Joe out there, he's been a friend of mine for 40 years.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And my wife and I this year will be 29 years married this year.
God bless you.
And when he pulled into our driveway just a few months ago, we hadn't seen him for 20 years. And he just finally looked me back up a few months ago. And he said, "I am so excited to see you and Jane together still." Because when we seen him last, that was not on the table.
That did not appear to be a possibility, did it?
Yeah, that wasn't, you know. Wow. And,
praise God.
And here again, this is one of those things, you know, recognize how God's looked over you over the years.
Yeah.
I can look back even before I turned and said, "Okay, God, you know, I've shared that story with you." I cried out to God, "It ends tonight." And I didn't care what ended. Either all these issues and all these things that are tearing me apart go away or take my life. And as I've said before, I was not suicidal.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a strong self-preservation spirit. But I didn't care. That world had to stop. Because it was trying to kill me.
Yeah.
And it was willing to destroy everyone around me to do so.
And a lot of people
yeah.
at that place need to hear what you're saying.
Yes.
Because you're still here.
Yes. Yes. You know, Scripture says that anyone who calls out to Jesus Christ will be saved. And there's a lot of people that may be in that situation. They have experienced it. This will not be the first time that they've called out and seen themselves delivered out of a situation just to go back to it.
Right.
You know, Proverbs talks about that. A dog returns to his vomit. And, you know, when I read through Proverbs, I see myself. Sometimes I'm fortunate enough to see myself as the wiser fella.
And more so as you walk with the Lord.
And more so
more
as
so.
I continue walking with the Lord.
It's true.
You know, and for what I was talking earlier about the repentance and not being so high-minded, as Paul says, you think so highly of yourself when you really shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, for people that do read Proverbs on a regular basis, Proverbs 16 laid out exactly what I was talking about today.
Yeah.
And I didn't read that until last night at like 11:30. I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I said, "Oh, I haven't read Proverbs yet." And it laid all of that out, the wickedness of man. Despite us thinking we're pretty good people. You know, now don't get me wrong, I think I'm in a group full of good people that I trust with everything I've said, and if I needed to seriously repent of a sin that needs to be confessed, it's one of you two I'm calling.
Amen.
So change your phone number if that's not the call you want.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let me give out this number. It's 772-221-1100. Give a donation. Put in what you can. As Paul says there, give what you've believed in your heart. Don't go above it. Don't go below it. God doesn't require anything of
That's
us
it.
Other than what he puts in our heart.
Yep.
Amen.
And we really desire to be sensitive to that also, Sean. And this morning been talking kind of from the manager's heart saying, we don't have any secrets here. One thing we pray about is, Father, we want the Holy Spirit to be able to move in this ministry. And we don't want anything to hinder that. And so I think about being in Jamaica where there were not windows. They had these big shutters, and they were hinged at the top, and they had a board that held them open. And when they were open, the beach air just blew through there, and that was the air conditioning. That's what we had. And I sort of sense that need in my own life and in the ministry, to just allow the Holy Spirit to blow out anything that needs to go and bring in the freshness of your presence, not my presence, but yes, your presence into our life. Sean, I believe today that some are listening, that God is touching their hearts. And I wonder if you would just lead us in a time, a few moments of prayer, and maybe you could give an invitation to those who are right where you're talking about, that day of desperation, that season of desperation. Sometimes that moment of desperation stretches out over hours, mm-hmm, or maybe days, mm-hmm, or maybe even weeks. And there may be someone listening today that says, well, my desperation's been going on for the last 20 years. But God is a God of right now.
Yes.
And today is the day,
yes,
of deliverance. And that's salvation, is it not? It's Zoe. It's life. It's the, yes, release of the life of God. Yes. The transformation starts in the heart. And I kind of grew up in a background where it almost seemed like you had to clean the fish before they were caught, you know, because we're so clean over here, we don't want anything, yeah, dirty, you, yeah, know, defiling, yeah, us. While, yeah, we were singing, hold the fort, yeah, for I am coming.
Yeah, you're, well, not getting in my truck with dirty, yeah, shoes on. Amen.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, my father would talk about, as a young believer, God, he had a new car, and God put on his heart to invite his buddy, who was a pig farmer, and the pig farmer did not care too much. He was used to the smell. It didn't bother him at all. And he'd come and just plop, he'd get in, pack the back seat. And Dad said, I had to come to understand that that's the way Jesus is. He just meets us right where we are. And if you're, yes, in the middle of the pig farm, okay. But Dad said that car never smelled the same.
Yes. Yes.
And that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I think we're supposed to have a little fishy smell.
Yeah.
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 Thank you, Lord.
You know, I'll say, Scripture tells us that none seek God, no, not one, which is just to really tell us that God is always seeking us.
Yeah.
He has not stopped seeking us. He wants us. So, Father, I lift
you,
up
Lord,
those ears that are, mm-hmm, listening, Father. I, Jesus, open them up. I ask that you open them up to hear your call, to,
amen,
hear your pleas to,
thank
them,
you,
Father,
Lord,
to let them see, mm, that you know what they've been through, you know what they're going to go through, Father, and that you have a light to put on the path,
amen,
so that they don't, mm, trip,
amen,
through what they are going,
thank
through,
you,
Father. You've said that if the bird sees the trap set, the fowler sets it in vain. Father, let them see the traps that are set before them. Let them recognize how to turn to you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, we thank you that you, your Spirit is here to draw us to you, Father, and teach us how to stop resisting that Spirit. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 And Father, we just lift up with thanksgiving the opportunity to come into your presence. Your word says, come. Don't just come, but come boldly. Come in boldness.
Yes.
Come knowing that I am inviting you to come this way. Father, what a great open door you have for us to press in. And we are crying out, yes, for revival. But Father, as Sean has shared today, I'm just showing up saying, Father, that I'm an address that is hungry, that's dry, that's thirsty, that's seeking. And with this prayer and share, Father, we give it to you every minute of it, every hour of it, every person that will tune in. Some will be getting in their car right now and turning on their radios and wondering what is going on over there. But what is going on is we're crying out for you, Father, to come and occupy and saturate and fill this house. Father, the world is filled with individuals who have been possessed by Satan. But Father, we are asking, take possession of your property. We yield our life to you. Thank you, Father, for Sean. Thank you for the call on his life. Thank you, Father, for the fire that's in him. It ignites fire in me. It stirs us up. It's the call of an evangelist that's calling. Father, we receive that. We thank you for it. We give thanks and praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And those logs burn better when you get two or three of them and slam them up against each other, and those sparks, they begin to heat things up. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yes.
I like that about you. I'll tell you what, the day when we were looking to schedule an appointment and you said something to me, I said, when's a good time to meet? What did you say? Anytime. You were running a business at that time, I believe.
Yes.
And anytime. I'm thinking, anytime? Mm-hmm. Anytime. Yeah. So where do you live?
Vero Beach.
Wow.
And the Father spoke to me that day and said, here's a brother that's listening carefully and it wants to be used by my Spirit. And that is what's needed. Amen. To be available anytime, regardless.
Yes.
And that impacted me. I thank you for serving God in that kind of a way.
Amen.
I thank God that he's allowed me to, that he's called me to, and opened up my heart to receive that. You know? I shared with Dave the first time we actually talked. I shared with him, you know, and I talked to you about the prodigal son was the whole intent 2 weeks ago when I reached out to you. You know, there's always two sons. You know, throughout Scripture, it's always about two sons. And God told the father said to one son, go out into my field and work. Yeah. And he said, no. But he went anyway. Told his other son to go out into his field and work. And he said, yes. And he didn't go. Okay. Where did God send Jesus Christ? He sent him out into the world. Where do you think I spent 20 years of my life? I spent it in the world. Now, this was something that I was meditating on yesterday while I was reading through, just making sure I had the right areas of verses and stuff for what I wanted to talk on today. I spent 20 years in the world, 15 to 35. Turned 55 in November. I have now spent 20 years in the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
You know?
Wow.
And something I would, Paul Washer, I was listening to one of his sermons, and he said that after one of his sermons, a young man came up to him and asked him, and this really kind of set me back to really make me think. You read the Scripture, you know the Scripture. Is it a reality in your life? And as the son that said no, which was me, I'm the one that said no, yet I went. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people going to be, well, how could you go if you were doing all these wicked things and blah, blah. You know what? I know what the world is like. I'm able to stop some people from going there because I can tell them what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, when they come to me because they accidentally stepped over into the world for a couple of days, I know how to be compassionate with them because I know what it did. I know what it did. You know, and when the prodigal son came back from his riotous living, he did not put on a robe of righteousness, and he did not put on a signet ring that said that he represented the Father. The Father's servants put him on him. That is why I will not go out here and say how righteous I am. It's not my place to say it. If God's robe and God's ring covering my body are not enough to say it, there's no word I've got in my heart that will.
But I can say it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Just from what you share and everybody listening, we know that you're a new creation. You're a brand new man.
Amen.
And through Scripture, I see all the evidence of it.
Amen.
You know, and the wonderful thing is I can look back even into those 20 years. You know, I used to be one of those. It was everybody else's fault. You know, it was everybody else's fault. And you know, Scripture says that man can justify his own actions.
Yeah.
Is God convinced? You know, I can justify every single thing I did. I don't care if you agree with it or not. I can justify
yeah,
right. it.
Yeah.
That's the rotten flesh, right?
But justification is not repentance.
It's true.
Amen.
Justification is not repentance. And if I've justified it and now I try to wear God's righteousness, I'm not wearing God's righteousness.
It's true. And didn't Paul say, I'm going to glory in something? What did he say? I will glory in the cross.
In the cross.
Amen. Yes.
That's right. That is
I will glory
boast about.
In the cross. So Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. But as the righteousness of God in Christ, our glorying, our testimony is in the power of the transformation that happened at the cross.
Yes.
And so that's where our glory is to be. That's yes. where it's to be. Sean, I'm going to go to a song. Karen, give the phone numbers. Yeah. I love it. Sean has them memorized. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, go ahead. You give the number.
772-221-1100.
Amen.
All right, we're going to go to this song, and it is called Revelation Song.
Sing a new song.
And as we move along through the day, it looks like lunch is going to be happening here shortly. And I want to thank Sean for coming in and sharing. And to Joe out there, hey, Joe, we didn't get him in this time, did we? But that's all right. Maybe next time. Maybe next time we'll do that. And Sean, thank you for lifting us up in prayer and standing with us, being a part of the ministry. And, you know, you not only give, but you pray with us. And I thank God for your willingness to speak the word that God puts in your heart.
Well, thank you.
You know, over the years in my life, and the men in the men's group that I'm accountable to, they hear me say this more than one time a year, where I say, brothers, I'm submitted to God. I'm submitted to you. Don't let me leave the trail. Yeah. You see me drifting? Love me enough to tell me the truth. We need to love each other enough to tell the truth. But as we tell the truth, we are doing it as brothers who love one another. And so I thank God for that, that I can count on my hands the leaders who would come to me and sit with me and share with me what they sensed God was saying, even if it was a word of correction or direction. Many times we bluff our way around and candy coat things and act like, how's the weather? It's a great day. Everything is nice. But so much better for us to be able to align one another with the love of God. Yeah. Aligning like the front wheels of your car need to be properly placed. And I believe that's how we are as brothers, iron sharpening iron, where we can stand together. I thank God for you speaking what God put in your heart to speak to me. And it is in my notes. And I may not remember all of it, but I remember the gist of it. And God's still working on me. Thank you, brother. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That number is 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. And if you are just tuning in and you have not been a part with us over yesterday or today, this is the season, fall season, where we call it prayer and share. And so we are actually looking forward to, you know, some warmer weather. It's a little chilly out today. I enjoy the chillier weather, but summer's going to be coming along here. And so we do thank all of you who join us two times a year during prayer and share. We simply ask for the budget. For a lot of years, it was $195,000. I don't know how many years that was, maybe an awful lot of years. I think the last maybe three or four, it's been $225,000. And most of our costs to businesses or to ministries are pretty much the same as they've been for 15 years, 20 years now. I keep saying 15. I've been here going on seven years. Wow. So time flies. Time flies. And so thank God. Thank you, Sean, for sharing your heart.
If I may share one more thing, Jonathan.
One more thing, please.
You know, Gideon's Army, it's a dollar a day. And that phone number again at 772-221-1100. You know, Jonathan, the great thing about Gideon's Army is they didn't have to fight. They just had to show up.
Amen. Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Thank you for letting me share.
Absolutely
enjoyed
right.
It. It was good seeing you.
Thank you, brother.
Same
great.
Here, man.
And,
hey, you're going to come back. You're going to be back. I've got plans.
God willing. I will be.
I'll talk to you after we're done.
Okay.
And give our hello to your wife that we have not met yet.
I will. I will. I still, we got to get together for dinner. I mean, we'll drive down. We'll meet you guys.
Wow.
Down here. I know everybody's busy, but we all eat.
See, Karen Hallelujah. Keeps saying we need to have a big dinner and invite all of our family together.
Yes,
so maybe
right.
God will let us do that at some point.
Yeah.
There we go. There we go.
Amen.
All right, we're going to go to another song. We'll be right back, 772-221-1100. And I want to thank our friend Diane, who we have a DoorDasher.
Yep, she's
with cash.
By.
Praise God. That is awesome. Thank you so much, Diane, for your donation today of $100. That's going to come in as a part of the matching funds. And we are actually making progress. as we move along today. And let's see, we are at 73. I can't read my own writing. I think it's 7338. 7338. I can always check the calculator and it'll help me out. But that's going to get doubled up today. Thank you so very much. And thanks to Jim Higgins Jr. For your donation of $10,000, which we're looking for a partner for every dollar that you've brought in. Thank you so much, brother. We're going to go to a song. We'll be back in just a moment. And this song is by Reba McEntire, I believe. No, it's by Cody Carnes. Okay. Till the end of time.
Wash over me. Deep calls to deep in the mystery. I don't want to wait a moment more. You're here. Gonna throw open the door. My heart is yours till the end of time. Till the end of time. I'm yours till the end of time. Safe house, my refuge, savior, my anchor. I run to you. I don't want to wait a moment more. You're here. Sound in your sanctuary. One thing I ask, one thing I seek, to be with you, always to be with you. Till the end of time. Till the end of time.
Till the end of time. Well, till the end of time, we know who's in charge of time, don't we? We know who is in charge of time. And that is our Father, and our Father's in charge of the times, the seasons that make up our life, and so we rejoice in the goodness of our God. Lewis, thank you. Lewis from Lake Worth has gone online, made a donation of $30, and that's been within the last couple days. Thank you, Lewis. We have Susan. We've had more than one Susan that's giving. We have a lot of Susans in the body of Christ, and so this Susan's given $25. Thank you so very much, Susan. We're going to add all that in. And Andy, we want to thank you, Andy, for your donation online of $500. That is going to be a great blessing today.
Oh, yeah.
as we add that in, that has also been within the last couple days. And incidentally, if you today have someone knocking on your door saying, how many fish and how many loaves of bread do you have? You know, I think about that story of the disciples when Jesus says, you feed them. You do something, right? And so, well, how much do you have? Well, they actually didn't have anything. They had to find somebody that had something. And it's not like this kid was driving a catering truck. You know, he hadn't just been to Costco's or Sam's and loaded up on things. However that worked, I'm curious. I don't know if in glory it's going to matter. I don't know if I'm going to try. Where is that kid? But today I would really like to have that kid come on radio. You know, if we could reach him and say, you know, you're sent out with lunch and you probably didn't have the nice little metal pail like we have today. It was probably a cloth.
Wrapped in a cloth.
You know, of some sort. So, you know, you have your lunch. You know, you took it maybe. Maybe as a young man, you had a healthy appetite. So let's say you had two fish sandwiches, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But the point is that kid made available what he had.
Yeah.
You know, Sean's here sharing from his heart. Sean's making himself available to God with what he has, and that is awesome. And God doesn't ask anything more of us. But God took the fish, took those loaves and fed the multitude and then sent that kid home. And I believe he needed an 18-wheeler to get the food home. You know, that's just my thinking about that. All these baskets, I don't know how big the baskets were. It doesn't matter. The point is he left with a little. He came back with a lot.
Amen.
A lot. And so today, as you come, do not think if you know, your fish, your few loaves of bread, don't think that's a small, insignificant thing. And for you, you know, we have our dear friend, the fish snook fisherman, who one day came to us as he was sharing and God had put on his heart, and he's been given to the ministry for a lot of years. And he started maybe $100 or maybe even less than that, I'm not sure, but the day would come when over a period of a year he would be able to give thousands of dollars to WCNO. And we thank God for that. But he didn't start there. He started with his loaf and his fishes, and he is still saying, I'm just simply doing what God has given me the ability to do. I bring my fish, and I bring my biscuits. And so we do need the widow's mite. We also need gifts from those that can drop in, like a king or a priest that has resources, a businesswoman. You've retired from business. God's blessed you. Would you prayerfully consider lifting the load today with us? We're passing the offering. It's coming your way. And here we're going to be, you know, however long it takes to get this done, we're here to see God provide for the needed operational budget. So we're going to keep passing the hat. And what would the Lord have you do? Many of you who listen today have never made a call. Maybe you're nervous to make the call. But maybe God's tapping on your heart, saying, you can be a part of this. You could give. You can give. God may direct you to give a dollar a day, like a part of Gideon's army. We do not have the 300 yet. I'm looking for at least 300 that are giving at least a dollar a day. We don't have the 300 in the army given a dollar a day. That's $30 a month. Maybe your gift is more like $30, maybe $30. That will cover a half hour of broadcast listener support. So whatever God puts on your heart, that's going to be a great blessing. And when we all do our part, the other morning we were setting up or breaking down equipment at the church. And a song came to mind, and I hadn't thought about this song in a lot of years, and it was a song that we sang in children's ministry. Hmm. And it says something like this: when we all work together, 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 when we all work together, how happy we'll be. When we all play together. Hmm. Today I'm going to sing, when we all give together, together, together. And that is exactly the way the kingdom of God works. God doesn't ask more than he's given you already to give. But to some of you, it might be as with Jim Higgins. His gift today is $10,000. We're looking to match that up. Someone else, their gift might be $10, maybe $100, maybe $10 a month, maybe $100 a month. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give is going to be perfect. Give us that call, 772-221-1100. Lewis, want to thank you for your $30 donation. Susan, thank you for your $25 donation. Andy, thank you for your $500 donation. Look at that. It spreads from a dollar a day to 25, a little less than a dollar a day, to 500. Well, that's a few more dollars a day, right?
Amen.
But this is the way the body of Christ is. This is how the Lord takes care of our needs.
Amen.
And so, David, you slipped out for a few minutes. It was successful.
Oh, very much so.
Good. Praise God.
Yeah, we're going to get Sean back for the Monday program.
Well, praise God. Praise God.
Can I know we're coming up on noon, and we have maybe Chuck Swindoll, maybe not, but I had a reflection. Could I just share it? I'll try not to take more than 2.5 minutes.
Sure. Why don't we give the numbers out first?
Okay. 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100 is the number. And it had to do with, we were talking about giving, and we were talking about the joyful giving. And what I was getting out of that is, you know, in the community of faith, we call the church. And those of us here today, those listening who are givers, and we here also contribute to the ministry, there's a sense of community that really excites me. And I just want to share what I was hearing from the Lord about our community of faith at WCNO, community of givers. And how the Spirit works. It's a wonderful gathering of people who have a strong conviction and a passion for this ministry. And that passion is shared equally by all of us. Even though the gifts we give, we would look at that and say those aren't equal. But it's not the issue of the amount we give. It's the fact that we're willing to listen to the Lord and say, do what he says. And I was reflecting back when I first came to this area. I went to a fairly good-sized mainline church here in Stuart area. And they were enmeshed in a giving program, a capital funds drive, to do some building. And there was like $1 million, you know, nut they had to crack. And I'd been there for a while and before we had this gathering of people. And it was a bringing together of stakeholders, if you will, in the church. And in that group, and I remember sitting in this large room at parish, in the hall we were meeting on the campus of the church. And because I'd gotten to know some of those people, I was looking around, and some of the people were families of founding families in Stuart, and they're well-moneyed, and they had a nice collection of wealth, if you will. And I knew that out of their wealth, because they were believers, and they're not only believers of God, but they were hearing God calling them to contribute to a very necessary church growth thing where we're going to do some building. They're going to be giving six figures. I knew this. And I looked around the room, though, and I saw that there was a lot of those stakeholders that had good money, and they were going to be giving five and six figure gifts. And by the way, all those gifts, all those figures to the left of the decimal, okay? And but I also knew there were other people that weren't as well resourced. But as I looked around the room, I knew that they shared a God-given passion for the ministry of this congregation.